Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Silly Dilly, your 2014 Southern Nevada Dwarf Car Champion, and you're listening to Mike, Gary, and JJ on Wheels Now.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live here from ice-cold Las Vegas, Nevada. I want to welcome all our new listeners and our regulars. Thank you for joining us. We've got a full house tonight. Of course, we have a repeat guest, Miss Silly Dilly.
How's it going?
Thank you for joining us, and happy to see Mr. J.J. Nunn made it here hosting tonight. How you doing tonight?
I'm freezing my ass off.
It's cold.
I'm doing okay.
Hey, we haven't seen snow yet, so we can't complain too much. But maybe, right?
So much for sunny Las Vegas, man. What a load of crap that is.
It's a dry cold.
It's a dry heat. It's a dry cold.
Yep.
Damn, the weather changes. Holy crap. It's cold, man. Too cold for me. This is why the hell I got out of New York, because of this weather. It's warmer in New York right now than it is here.
Maybe we can ask Silly Dilly here how we can find a heater guy to fix the heat in the studio. And get her dad over here.
I think he's too busy at dinner. He went to dinner without me.
See? Luckily, you got your priorities straight. You came here to the show. We want to let you know we appreciate that. Of course, man, always on a mission. Mr. Gary White,
how you guys doing?
Yeah, you made it back.
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
alive.
This is a guy that loves to drive. I don't care if it's a race car or driving down the freeway. you just drive, don't you?
Yes, I do.
He made it back in one piece.
His sister didn't do anything to.
No, I didn't kill her.
Well, glad you made it back. When did you get back?
Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday. Yep. Mm. Saturday evening I get back.
Catch any racing?
No.
Damn.
No.
You fouled up. He doesn't go to Cali. Every time he goes to Cali, there's a race on the schedule. Every time I've been there with him, for some reason or another, we're going to a race. It's great.
The nearest race was 220 miles away.
And?
I came this way instead of that way.
Okay, because normally I wouldn't have heard that out of your mouth. It would have been, I only had to go 220 miles that way. So glad you made it. How was Christmas? Good?
Christmas was great, but I will tell you this. One of my nephews had Kay riled up.
Man. You don't want Kay riled up.
I had said we were leaving on Saturday. Well, my nephew told her that we were going to the racetrack on Saturday.
Oh, my
God. I'd never seen her come out in the living room so fast before.
Did she stay in Cal?
No.
She came back with you.
How was your Christmas?
Good. Yeah.
And?
Was it warmer than it is now?
Non-eventful. It was warmer, yeah. I had a nice, warm Christmas. Just hung out at home. Nothing special.
That's good.
Had turkey. Thank you.
Oh, good. You're welcome. How was it? Good.
Good.
Good. Very you good. Had Justin? Justin the turkey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We forgot we named him.
My holiday was very quiet.
And what do you have to say
about that? That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, that's a good thing. Celebrated with my future-in-laws. Okay. Very quiet. No police, no knives, no guns. It was a good Christmas.
That's because you weren't with Gary as a
yo,
team.
No,
I'm not saying it's your fault. It's like ingredients of a dish.
No. You're failing. I keep these guys under control. They don't got to keep me under control.
Yeah.
And there's Justin staying by the refrigerator where it's warmer. How you doing, Justin? Good. He said good. Justin Griffith, bomber, another bomber. We're getting outrun by bomber guys in here.
What do you mean?
Silly's the only one that...
Is that the news? She's switching over to a bomber?
Oh, we do. We got some news that we'll get to, I guess, here shortly.
I think your guys' cars are still a little too slow for me to switch over.
Ooh.
Whoa!
Now, she didn't mean it that
it's a different rule base.
Whoa.
Okay. Different rule base.
So you said
our cars
so
are
pretty slow.
You're saying
no,
wait a minute.
Are slow.
Now,
they're not running. They're not running fast.
Off,
they're slow.
That's what I said. Off air. They're going too fast.
Yeah.
Now, which is it? Come on, bomber guys. Get your crap together. So what is the news at Trump?
I don't know. I said, you know.
Too fast, too slow?
Well, this year at Trump, they had the open wheel contest, right?
Those little
it wasn't a bomber.
Where was Silly Dilly?
She wasn't invited.
Yeah, I wasn't invited.
You were invited, okay.
But those dwarfs.
Well, they knew you were going to win, that's why. See? They know how to keep competition out.
Yes, they do.
Maybe next year we need to put a bomber out there up against Dwarf.
You take your fenders off, bang in the back corners.
Just take the fenders off and
just race against him. He'll take care of that for you.
He'll almost take the hood off, right?
Yes.
What do you think? You go up against bomber? Yeah, we're just too slow, huh? You spank us?
Probably.
Oh, well, I think if you look at the times, that'll tell you which one's faster. So, I don't think she's poking at you guys. I'm on your side tonight.
I think she is.
What have you been?
Probably run faster than us.
Well,
I don't know whether they get around us.
Yeah, speed bump.
Oops. What did I run over?
What was that? Oh, a rock.
Yeah.
Oh, yellow flag.
Yeah. While JJ's got a smile on his face. Mm-hmm. We go.
Was that a fly that hit my door?
No. Hey, this time of year, it's tough to find racing out there. Cause in December, there really isn't a whole lot of racing. But coming up January, February, there's more racing stuff happening. I know you said February Prump has their schedule.
February 14th is their first race.
Yeah. The first race, so.
Yeah. Don't we have Havasu January 3rd?
Yes.
Well, yeah, the race this weekend, Havasu Street Stocks, and then January 17th, late models are running out there.
Ain't one of them $1,000 to win show coming?
Street Stocks.
Street Stocks, yes.
And actually, Mojave Valley, February 7th, I believe. They have their schedule out.
Is that when they're for
their
race?
Yeah.
Okay. That's news. I've been prowling around the internet, and I didn't pick up on that one.
Tonopah is May 9th. Is their first show.
There's some racing coming up. We can relax and breathe easy. Well, I know we got to work harder.
And the Bullring is their first test is March 14th, isn't it?
Well, let's ask Justin, our LVMS special.
Ask Justin.
March 14th.
That's the wrong one.
Justin is our new LVMS correspondent.
Yeah, he's our LVMS.
Here's what happens when we ask Justin something.
Houston, we've had a problem.
Well,
so what was that? March 14th.
Wow.
Practice, right? Open practice.
So that's registration and a practice day. I guess they've been doing that.
Is the opener March 28th? March 21st.
According to Justin.
Okay.
So if it's wrong, please let Justin know any way you can that it's misinformation. No, I appreciate it. Yeah, Justin, I'm sure you can go to the bombernation.com website and click around. You'll see some information on
there. They have a test that Friday night before Saturday also. It's basically you got one open test, and then
you're talking about
on the 14th at LVMS, and then you have Friday night test. So they got two test dates to get you squared away right away.
Any plans on getting out to the asphalt, guys? This year? I mean, March?
Yep. And there's plans on it. We're still looking at February at Kokopah.
That's
still up in the air. We haven't confirmed that yet. And now that I hear Mojave, I believe all we need to do is bring four cars out there to Mojave, isn't it? And six cars out to Mojave. And what was the date on that?
February 7th.
February 7th. Mm-hmm.
Actually, the doors will go down to Mojave twice this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool deal.
because we got our schedule pretty much wrapped together. We're going to do 8 points races in Pahrump, 2 in Tonopah, and 2 in Mojave.
Oh, okay. 12 races.
Wow. That's great. That sounds like a lot more fun to kind of spread it out a little bit.
And yeah, and March 14th, we'll start our season in Pahrump, and we're also making it a money race. Southern Nevada is going to put up $1,000 to win for the main event if we can have at least 24 cars show up.
Wow.
Oh, okay. So I guess that was spread out through California and Arizona?
We let everybody know already. We're working out the final details, though, on what the rest of the payout's going to be, because we're going to pay – Southern Nevada is going to pay the winner the $1,000, and then – I believe the entry fee we're talking about right now is going to be $75 for that race. And we're going to have Pahrump, like, I know Chad wants $5 a car. So the $70 all is going to go into a purse to pay 2nd through 13th.
Okay.
Cool. Kind of.
All right. That's
get it further
down
the line.
You're looking at, yeah. But you got to have 24.
Yeah. We that's... want 24 at least for us to put up the $1,000.
Okay.
If not, it'll just, if we have less than 24, we'll just make it a regular race with the same entry. So you still win. Not as much, but you still win the supplement.
And since you got it out there, have you had response? You got people jumping on it from out of state?
Yeah, actually, a lot of the California guys want to come out because nobody's season starts until about April. So that's why we're putting it out before everybody's season starts, because all the people that are antsy are going to want to come out and run, and everybody's want to test their car before their actual first points race.
All right. Cool, cool.
And I know you've been on the show, actually not that long ago, it was just before our Thanksgiving break there, I guess. But for new listeners that may not know who you are, you want to go ahead and fill us in, Silly Dilly? Let us know a little bit about you, your racing with your dwarf cars, and maybe your nickname. Nobody knows where Silly Dilly might
Yeah,
come
I've
from.
I've been racing for, this will be my 8th season now. I got started for my dad. My dad and my grandpa both started when I was like 5 years old, so I grew up around the tracks. I was a goofball around the tracks. That's where I got the name Silly from. It was much easier to say than my actual name. And last year I was the 2014 Southern Nevada champion, which we're actually going to have our banquet coming up here January 17th, so I'm excited
cool.
for that.
That is cool. That's invite only. Right. No,
so
crash in the banquet.
We can't go.
No crash in the banquet.
Yeah, we can't crash the banquet.
Just get an address, guys. All we need is an address.
And where's that going to be?
It's actually going to be at Todd Dameron's house.
Oh?
He builds hot rods. He owns Hot Rod Shop Las Vegas.
Cool.
So I don't know if you've ever seen out in Pahrump. He has that 25 car. That's the gold car. We call it the gold rod. That's his car.
That's
okay.
A nice car.
Hot Rod Shop Vegas. I know where that is.
And what time does the shop close?
No, what time does this start?
It will start at 3 o'clock on January 17th.
Cool deal.
Okay. Yeah. Gary's got it.
It's in the phone.
We're on a mission.
No bombers there, guys. Come on. Don't be bombing this party here.
No, we're
cool.
We're not party crashers.
Now, you've been involved with the dwarf cars. Obviously, you're in on some of the insides with what's happening with rule changes and schedules and all that. You want to go over the schedules again real quick?
This year we sat down and made a schedule of wanting to do 12 point races to make it more competitive. And so we're going to do 8 at Pahrump starting on March 14th. And we're going to do 2 in Tonopah, including Memorial Day weekend up there for Butler Days.
Oh, cool.
And 2 in Mojave. And I believe our schedule will end actually in October. Our point series will wrap up October 10th in Pahrump.
Nice.
And then we actually, for Western States this year, we're back to having 4 nationals, and we have 3 regionals going on right now, pretty cool.
Now, what's the difference in nationals and regionals?
A national consists of a 3-day event, Thursday practice, racing, Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
A nationals is worth 300 points. A regional is only Friday, Saturday, and it's only 150 points. So how the points work is you could either use 3 of the nationals and 2 of the regionals to replace the nationals, or all 4 nationals.
Involved.
Sounds confusing. I'm going
to it's involved.
Yeah.
Very, very involved.
Obviously, you got very serious
Yeah, it keeps it competitive for, like, if you can't make a certain event, you have other events that you can make it up and still run for points. And something that we're trying to get more people into Western States this year is our first national, We're going back up to Vernal, Utah, which is a far ways from here and from the guys in California. So they actually got a lot of sponsorship, and we're putting $3,000 to win for pro main event and veterans a main event for that weekend.
Now, tell me how that works. You said pro and...
Right now we have three classes when you go to nationals.
Okay.
You have the pros, which are the main people, and then you got the vets, which you only got to be 45 or older to run in. And then we have the sportsman class, which is for, like, beginners, where their entry fee is actually only $100. You don't race for money, but you can race for points and trophies, and it's to get you seat time.
So for, like, 20 years, you can say, I'm a beginner, and well, I can pay the lower fee now.
Yeah, I did it for 4 years. The only rule we have is right now, as long as you don't run away from the field, we're not going to tell you to step up.
Okay. Well, that's not bad. I mean, you get a chance to kind of brush up on and really learn the racing.
Yeah, it gets the new people out, because I know when I first started, it was right when we started the sportsman class, I didn't want to go to the nationals at first because I'm looking at all these people that have more experience than me. I don't want to go out there and wreck somebody else or take somebody else out because I spin out. So that's why we started the sportsman class, because there's a lot younger people coming in that wanted to be more competitive.
Well, the way we've been classified, the way I see it, okay, I mean, we're not the main people. So Gary and I have the possibility ended up in two categories, which is the new people and the old people.
Yeah.
Which most places call the Legends Race. 76 and older. No.
So because I'm older,
over
40, I knew that was coming. Because I'm over 40, but I've never been in a dwarf, I fall into the beginner no matter what the age?
No, it's your choice. If you want to come and run sportsman, you can run sportsman. If you really want to run the pros, you can run the pros. The only thing with it is you can show up and run one class, but if you're going to run for points, you got to stay with that class all year long.
All year long.
I recommend you racing against Dilly.
With my bomber.
Now, that's something you said is just for, like, nationals and regionals?
Yeah.
Just nationals?
Nationals and regionals. That's what it's going to be. Besides, I know Fernley, which is May 2nd, they're running everyone together. The points are going to be separate on how you finish,
but
everybody's running together.
Okay. Now, how come they don't do that on a local level? Let's say you go to Pahrump and you race 8 races.
Well, actually, down in Ventura, California, they do, because they have enough cars to do that. If we did that in
car count issue.
Yeah, if we did that in Pahrump, it would be like... Two cars here, but even if
you race together, like, you know, you were saying, couldn't you still do that? And
yeah, we could do the points as of that way.
Mm-hmm. But you don't currently at this time.
No, we
not
don't.
Not as a local track. That's pretty cool. If somebody wanted to get into a dwarf car, would it be better to build one, like get a set of rules, or go out and look for one to buy?
I would look for, like, maybe an actual older car to buy. Instead of, because building it, it's going to cost way more. Like, I started really early with a not-so-good car. It was one of my dad's old cars. It was bent every which way. I think those cars are, the older cars, you'll learn more if you start out with that, and then you won't feel so bad if you go put it in a wall or something.
I got one of them.
Yeah. I think there's one out in Gary's driveway right now. Something like that.
You had mentioned, okay, you went to a meeting. This was where all the dwarf associations get together.
That was in Reno. I didn't attend that. My dad actually did. Back on December 5th and 6th, they went up to Reno for the Western States Board meeting, and that's where we voted, try to vote in stuff for next year. And we actually, this year, we voted in beadlocks that you can run on the rear only. We voted in the quick changes for the dwarf cars, and we also, because of the incident that happened in Fernley where we lost two drivers, we have now issued, starting 2016, you have to have a type of head and neck restraint in the car.
Now,
basically a Hans.
Yeah, a Hans or a Defender. Sure. You have to have some type of head and neck restraint.
You've been running with the head and neck restraint this whole past year?
Yeah, I started running mine back in 2009 when I had a bad crash in Pahrump, and that actually knocked me out and gave me a bad whiplash. Ever since then, I've always had one in the car because I didn't feel safe about it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's probably a good idea regardless.
So now 2016, it's mandatory for all Western divisions
have. If you're going to run with Western States, where we mainly check the rules, and they want cars to enforce it too because it's safety. If you And they're even making it like a steerage rule. If you show up to the track and you're in your car at any point in time, wheel packing or anything, and they catch you without it, you're done for the whole weekend.
That's something I always, you know, I always question that even in packing. You know, you're driving cars, anything can go wrong at any time. I never believed in going out in shorts or in a regular shirt or just, I mean, I think once you're in your race car, okay, maybe not through tech, but if you go hit, get on the track, you should be in full uniform, full equipment. You know, that's something that I always question. I always went out. You never know whether somebody's throttle is going to stick. Crazier right. things have happened, you know, in packing, in practice. You know, once you're on the track, you should prepare yourself always for the worst. And if you're prepared for that, anything less has got to be good.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you would think within that oval, because that's what we like racing on, something oval, that you would be required to have safety gear on no matter what. You know
I get out there, full fire suit, gloves, shoes, helmet, and then go out there. You're on the track. Craziest stuff has happened. You know, everybody has heard stories of, you know, something going wrong, and it's not a race.
Right.
You know, even getting on the track. And anything can happen down staging.
Oh, so yeah, absolutely.
That's what I recommend. If you're going out there, if you're going to be on the track, suit it all up. I don't care. If it's 100 degrees out, get your fire suit on.
I mean, worst case I've seen where the race is over, after you get your trophies, you got some guy out there running backwards trying to get off the track sometimes. I mean, what the hell?
Lost. But he's got his Foreman helmet on.
That's right. So, if you're, yeah, there you go. So you're still safe when you're doing it. So, oh, well. Looking forward to this coming up race season, though, because you guys talking about traveling and Justin's talking about – what are you talking about? What are you going to do?
Where's that gobble?
Come here.
Gobble.
Hey, Justin Griffith of the number 42. And tell us, why don't you come up to the mic real quick? Tell us what you're going to do. You got sponsors this coming up year. You have charities that you're involved with this year. So Justin Griffith, of course, number 42 bomber driver.
I'll probably just be hanging out with Gary Wyatt and JJ9.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Sorry, too.
That's pretty much how last year went.
Well, look at these two guys, and I know you're young, but expect gray hair by 2016.
I already have some.
Believe it, in defense of Justin, just...
Defense?
Defense.
Okay.
Since it's open season, you know, Justin came out last year for a couple races, and you ran how many this year? Seven?
Eight.
There's a big difference.
In Pahrump.
Pahrump. There's a big difference from looping it. And
I only spun one time, and that was the finish last and get money.
Yeah, but...
just so you know, Justin, off the air, they said they were really impressed by... how you're wheeling that car this last couple races that you've been out there.
He listens.
Few races.
You know, he listens.
Hold
it's
on,
just
me,
a matter
me,
of...
Okay. The top of his head is getting big.
It's all archived on my phone. I come back and listen to him.
Okay.
You know, he listens, and it's just how much he applies on the track.
Right.
You know, Gary don't know it all. I don't know it all. You don't... Nobody knows it all.
We all think we do, but...
there's plenty of different scenarios. And you know, coming from pavement, which is what Justin has always ran on,
right.
And going to dirt, it's a completely different world. Am I wrong, Justin?
Well, in this past year, you did race both.
Yep.
So
it is a completely different world. I'll say that.
So I know you have a warm place for asphalt, but you had a lot of fun with the dirt also this year, huh?
This year I had more fun on dirt. I will say that.
Cool. I mean, really good finish.
Well, he rolled with us. Of course he's going to have fun. On the track, in the pits, towing there, coming home, going out to dinner.
It's one of those guilty pleasures, I guess. I don't know.
You know, that brings up a question back to... Cecilia, have you ever run pavement? I don't think we asked that. Have you ever been on pavement at all?
No, I've never been on pavement, and I've never driven anything but a Dorf car. Besides, one time Travis Ryder put me in his modified after racing prop, and even with pillows underneath me and behind me, I had to duck to hit the throttle, so it wasn't funny. That much fun.
Any aspiration of getting out of Dorf? Yeah, dude.
I've thought of running different classes and trying different classes. It's something I want to do, but I think no matter what, I would never get rid of my Dorf car. It'd be like maybe trying to do two different types of cars. If I could, but I've had so much fun in the Dorf car, and it's more of the aspect of, like, pretty much Western States. We're more of a family than a racing group. I enjoy going out of town and spending time with all my friends, and practically I call my other family up there. That's what I would never get rid of, because right. I've never seen that in any other organization.
Yeah, that's a good question, and we're not done with you either.
I go out of
right
town
now.
All the time, but I take my friends with me when I go out of town.
Well, wait a minute. This is different from counting all your friends on one hand or
and, having 87 cars in Marysville.
I mean, you mentioned it. Friends is fine. You know, like I said, family, you call a Dorf a family group. I went through Christmas and I got family and it was peaceful for no police guns or knives. So, but no, I understand what you mean. The Bombers, you race up against somebody, okay, you know they got either a husband or kids or mother or father, and you got to have that mutual respect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Racing is a dangerous sport. Glad to hear that the Western Association is instituting Hans Device, and we also mentioned off the air the helmets that were going in the 2015 helmets, and
yeah.
Everybody has till what next
year
to get.
Yeah, our rule is going to change to you have to have 2010 or newer, but since the 15 is coming out and probably won't be on the shelves till our season starts, and we're asking you to get a Hans Device. If you have a 2005, you can race all of 2015 with it.
Yeah, and I. Speaking to G-Force and Snell, those helmets should be out for distribution in February and March, the latest. So as far as I know, if you want to get a hold of G-Force or Simpson, they're going to have them available, but through online. When they actually hit the racing shops, not sure.
I guess so, we'll have to wait and see. When you went to the Hans, I know there's a lot more involved than just strapping on and, you know, going. You're a little more restricted in view, like side, you know, head movement and all that. Did that reflect in your racing at all?
At first, I had to get used to not being able to turn your head. Mm-hmm. We don't have mirrors, kind of like some people, so it wasn't so much of restricting, but I think it does it does help me a lot more because it helps keep my head up, too. I don't have to sit there and force my head up when we're going through the corners.
Oh, she's going to sleep.
Well, I think it kind of that's a good point, too. Maybe it kind of helps you focus on not, you know, looking over your shoulder driving,
yeah.
Too.
And
so
I know, especially like me and my friend Casey and Hannah, when we go in the corners in those cars – all the G-Force, we're sitting there just like
right.
Getting slammed to the side. That helps keep our head straight too, so we're not sitting there more focusing on trying to keep our arms and our head up. We're focusing on the lane we're taking
the
through track. The
corner. No. Hey, and speaking of you racing with like friends and stuff, have you ever had an incident where you thought going into the race that was your friend, but coming off the racetrack, you found out different because of something that happened or even
yeah,
because there was no mirror?
There's been incidents, especially with people I know, will get into a wreck or they'll cut me off, they'll hit me, especially at the Nationals and stuff. And my dad has taught me once the race is over, it's over. Like, you can go say something to them, but you know by the end of the night you'll be sharing a beer, hanging out.
Basically sell it on the track, keep it on
yeah.
the track.
There are people I know that are a completely different person with a helmet on. And I've learned to watch out for them on the track. And I'm glad I don't have to race with him.
You guys are pointing at Justin, by the way. That's where head.
I've had Gary convinced I'm. His friend for
Justin,
9 years.
Justin's pointing back with his middle fingers.
And that's the same thing with racing with family too, because I've
right.
known a couple incidents, especially in Death Valley one time. My dad took me out to win a trophy dash when I was leading. My dad's just as competitive in the car, even though I'm his daughter. He don't mind trying to bump me out of the way.
Well, it's good to know he's not letting you win anything. You're earning every bit of your wins that you're racing. So that's cool.
Your dad took you out?
Yeah. Jeff
took his little girl out?
Jeff Valley, him and Rick Rochelle, they never really got along. So I was coming out of four leading the trophy dash. It was only like four laps in Death Valley. And Rick Rochelle had the bottom and I had the top. And my dad knew Rick was going to pass me. So my dad just like clipped my back bumper, spun me out of the way, and went right around me and won the race.
So and where did Ricky show up? End up?
He got second in the trophy dash.
I've decided I'm not getting in the beginner division.
I'm not getting in the sportsman or the legends.
Yeah. Never mind.
You stay in the slow bomber cars, okay?
Yeah.
With the mirrors.
Yeah,
with
the mirrors. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, some of us have mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for reminding us.
Hey, of course, time flies when you're talking about
having
racing.
This much fun?
When you're talking about racing. So, hey, we're going to probably take a quick break here, and then we're going to find out more about Silly Dilly. And we haven't gotten to the big news yet, have we? Nothing, no? Is there any big news we got? What? Nothing?
Just the big race in Prom. That's about it so far.
And we'll talk
so far.
We'll talk about
so far.
We got CD here. I'm sure we'll talk about something else.
And we'll get back to Justin. We haven't forgotten about Justin either, so we'll see you right after.
Who hasn't forgotten about Justin?
Who?
BomberNation.com is your website for all the latest local racing news. If you are a race car owner, a driver, or a passionate fan of racing, the BomberNation.com is the site you'll want to add to your favorites list. Check out the message board, track schedules, special events, links, and our sponsors. The Bomber Nation, one sport under one nation. TheBomberNation.com.
Gentlemen,
the sound of On Wheels Now, every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
If you like cars,
the smell of gasoline and rubber,
or just love motorsports and auto racing,
On Wheels Now is your inside look at local motorsports.
So don't miss the action.
We'll keep you in the loop with the latest local racing news.
We're race car drivers, too. So join me, Michael,
and Mike, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Find us at onwheelsnow.com.
Nevada Pick Apart.
Who?
Nevada Pick Apart. Do you have a used car or a truck just sitting in the driveway taking up space, looking ugly and tired of looking at it? Are you moving and can't take your car or truck with you? Did you buy a new car or truck and want to get rid of the old one? Contact Nevada Pick Apart, 702-644-1881. That's 702-644-1881. Sell Nevada Pick Apart your used or old vehicle and see it gone tomorrow.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Ooh. Welcome back to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. And this is the Racers Roundtable, where racers, race fans, and race officials can get together and talk about local racing. If you want
to
talk about your team, you know, call in. JJ, go ahead and tell us that phone number.
Yeah, what's that phone number, JJ?
Hey, where you been? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
We've been waiting to get dead air for about 5 minutes for you to get here.
Glad you can make it back.
Taking a smoke break. Why don't you start vaping? Everybody's doing vapor.
I was testing the weather.
Is it hot out there, JJ?
Is it snowing? We got snow?
No snow.
No snow. Hey, our official snow report. No snow.
No snow on the southeast side of Vegas.
I'm glad you can give us that report, JJ.
No problem. Anytime.
Dang.
Piece of cake.
Something hasn't been brought up yet. We'll get to your notes in a minute. I know you don't realize, but this is the last show of the year.
This is. I'm sad to Sad to see it go.
Look at that.
Goodbye show for this year. Yes. Hey, next year we get to look forward to a brand new show.
That's right. About your report, Jay?
He don't know what's going on right now.
He was on a smoke break.
You missed the whole conversation when you were outside. True. He still thinks that. Hey,
2 days before the new year, and he's got to come up with this whiz brain that nobody doesn't know. Tuesday nights, On Wheels Now, it's the last show. Interrupt me.
Yeah.
You want to call in 702-685-8116. That's 702-685-8116.
And speaking of that, before we forget, by the end of the show, I want to say Happy New Year to everybody, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, no, you can't interrupt JJ saying that. What's wrong with you? Come on.
Hey, I didn't give a disclaimer at the beginning, so I got to kind of keep him under wraps here. We don't want him to say something.
I've been
this is the last show of the year. I don't know what's going to come out of your mouth. So.
I've been very good.
Neither does he.
Of course, we got a repeat special guest here tonight, Silly Dilly. Thank you for joining us. A dwarf car racer out of not just Pahrump anymore, of course. And they got a little spread of their schedule around a little bit.
Yeah, correct me, all over the West Coast.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. That, you know, these guys talked about traveling and racing, but we're going to get to that real quick. Justin, we didn't get to your charities that's coming up this year. You want to talk about that real quick?
Justin's a charity.
That one kid. Oh, Justin Griffith, yes. The number 42 guy.
Well, pinkmail.org, like always. Illumination Water Bottles. Riegert Racing, which is my teammate, Tony Riegert. He's running for diabetes awareness like he did last year. All of his winnings will go to diabetes, you know, awareness. And
These charities that support local racers and local racing, you know, please support these charities. You know, that they're all for good causes. I know JC Motorsports, you know, get involved with their own.
We need to have Tony
also.
In. I don't understand why we haven't had Tony in.
Justin,
you know,
that's your job.
You're a very shy person.
That's beside the point.
Hey, so is your mom, and I think we got a couple words out of
one
her,
word.
So.
JJ got hi.
Yep.
Hi, Mom. I know you're listening.
She is, finally.
Yeah, she is listening.
That's a good thing.
See, I don't see
her birthday's over, so now we don't get to sing happy birthday to her live on the show.
I know.
Well, I don't see any illuminated water bottles on our necks tonight. What's going on?
They're in the car. Well, mine's in the car.
we have somebody
forgot them. Justin, any ideas of what Tony's plans are this year? Is he going to stay at the Bullring and run a whole season for points out there? Or?
He's most likely going to stay asphalt. I keep trying to get him to come travel, but he's pretty dead set on the asphalt.
Now, Justin, you're going to do a little traveling with these guys. Of course, you're going to do some more bullring asphalt racing, too?
Yeah, mainly bullring. I am going to travel with these guys every now and then, see what kind of trouble they get me in.
Hey, can I ask?
Hey, just to make note, since Gary said this is the last show of the season. Last show of the year. Okay, we never had the police here, so it's been a good year.
We have 30 minutes. We got 20 minutes left. So
sorry to interrupt you, Justin.
Speaking of asphalt, and did any dwarf races happen on asphalt ever?
Up in actually Colorado, half their season is run on asphalt.
Wow.
My grandpa, he hasn't raced for a couple years up there, but he raced with the group up there. I think they're called the Rocky Mountain Dwarf Car Association. They go to Casper, Wyoming to do like 6 races on the asphalt.
They split their season up 6 and 6, or?
I think it's about that. But I know, like, especially during the summertime, they'll go up to Wyoming for like 3 months in a row every other weekend and run the asphalt. And they actually run the road course up there.
Oh, that sounds pretty
cool. Because
the
legends that predominantly run on asphalt, down in Texas, they run on dirt.
Huh?
They have a full season on dirt
and,
down there.
Kelly Gutches, who actually moved to Tennessee, has ran in Texas on asphalt with them.
Wow.
And he has the record now, we call it, in Western States. He's ran like 20 different states and won races in.
No kidding.
Wow.
He literally loves racing so much. If he can find a race any day of the week, he travels anywhere just to go racing.
Gary, you're old news.
I guess.
you're not a true racer. And we found a true racer.
Where is he located? Where does he live?
Texas?
He's originally from up in Medford, Oregon. And he just moved down to Tennessee to run with the East Coast Dwarfs. I first met him when I very first started racing. We used to go down to Arizona for the Winter Series. And he would literally, for about November till March, would go and take his motorhome and live in Arizona just to run different tracks, because I know Canyon would have Wednesday night practices you could do, then he'd run Speed World on like Friday,
wow,
and then go run somewhere else on Saturday during the winters.
Interesting. See,
that's an adrenaline junkie right there.
Well, man. You know, it's good to have guys like that to inspire us just to get out to our local tracks. You know, you see guys like that just their life is racing. I know we all feel like, you know, racing is part of our lives, but racing is this guy's life. It's inspirational to me to see guys like that. And I see a divorce coming for Gary if he's going to start doing that. Get yourself a trailer.
Motorhome,
3 days of racing, 3 weekends.
Motorhome with a two-car hauler.
Yeah, I saw like a five-car hauler. It was $10,000. I couldn't find our early phone number, though. Five cars, probably four full-size for you guys.
Yeah, I had to, funny you brought up Ollie. I had a chance to speak to him, and it was over Christmas, and he said he's starting to build another one.
Wow.
And he's going to start getting a dirt car.
Why does he need two?
He's looking to run pavement.
So he's going to have one pavement for dirt and asphalt?
And one for pavement. So,
but they're bombers. They there's no rule. There's no differences. You just take one and take it to the asphalt and take it to the dirt. It's the same thing.
Change the air pressures, right? Yeah.
Isn't it the same thing?
Me and JJ are the only real racers. We ran the same
car. You think I want to keep my blue car clean?
Well, they don't get that dirty. Just knock the dirt off, right?
That's what he's doing. He's trying to stay out of trouble. He put the car in the garage and he's tinkering on it. And he had some extra time at night, so instead of ending up in jail, he's decided to start building another one in his garage.
Did he have any help from Mark Allison? I wonder.
Oh, I'm sure. There's no doubt about that.
I heard Mark got his asphalt modified done too.
Yeah, he did. He's supposed to be running in Havasu.
Oh yeah, coming up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to race the late model race January 17th down in Havasu, as far as my understanding is, and then the next modified race after that. So
we haven't had him in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to get him in and
Gary,
find out what his
Gary.
find out what his 2015.
Slacking on my duties.
Operations are.
Thanks for being here.
That's what
I got to be here for the last show. You saved the best for last.
That's right. Yes. So there you go. The best for last. But
I say that every time I look in my mirror. In my
you got a mirror?
I don't know what those are.
Yep. Let's keep it that way, right?
For I race. Need it to. You get my age, you need it so you can back off the trailer straight and you don't hit anybody.
Aye.
Well, that's another thing you guys have. I don't have a reverse in my car. I got to push my car out of the trailer.
Oh, no, I'm beyond pushing.
Now, that brings up a good point. You guys run motorcycle gear in those?
We run, actually, it's a Toyota rear end that we cut down and get to fit, and it's Toyota ratio gears we run.
Okay, and then how about your shifting?
Is just like on the bike. We took the bike handle off for the clutch, and I have a clutch on
a stick,
and it's first is forward, and everything else is back.
Well, is that hard to? I mean, that seems kind of hard to.
It's hard to learn at first to get going because you have to let the clutch out slowly, just like if you were on a bike. So beginners, yeah, it's hard to get taken off.
But you taking lessons, JJ?
Once you get it going,
I drive with one hand, so yeah, I'm capable of doing this.
Once you get it going, it's pretty easy to learn. I'm still not good at start, but that's just how I start the race. I shift differently. Most people don't pull in the clutch to shift on the start because you can just yank the shifter back. Anytime I do that, I always throw it into neutral, so I try to use the clutch. So I'm not that great at starts. I'm still trying to figure out starts after 7 years.
Hey, that just goes to show you can always learn something, right? Always something to learn in racing. Now, when you are racing, obviously you do a couple different tracks. Do you shift during your races, or do you usually get in one gear and then that's it, you go?
Usually I'll start off and like prompt I run third, so at the beginning of the race usually I'll try to start in first, but I can't start well, so most of the time I start in second, and once I shift in a third I stay until the yellow comes out.
Well, whatever that secret is, it's working, because I don't know how many times we've seen you win. There's a lot of wins under your belt, so that's cool. And then obviously maybe a longer, bigger track you might shift into a fourth or something? Or?
Well, mostly I run third everywhere, but that's just we switch out gears. Like,
oh, they run gears. Okay.
Prompt is smaller, so I run a 410. When we go down to Mojave, I'll put a 390 in and be in third gear.
So pretty much try to make it third gear is where you want to be.
Yeah, I have a gear chart. I don't know how it figures out with the numbers, but it has all the numbers already put on there. I just get something that matches with what makes me hit the red limiter in my car.
Now, are you swapping this out, or is your dad?
No, I can do it. I've learned to do it. My dad kind of taught me when I first started racing because I broke a lot of stuff. If you break it, you have to fix it.
That's
so
cool.
Thank God I don't have that contract.
Are you listening?
So I practically work on my own car, but once I get it back together after a wreck or something, he does help me with the setup because
cool.
I can't necessarily be in my car while it's on the scales and try to change things. So he'll help me with the setup, but when I break it, I usually have to fix it.
Now, is that something like with your gears? You're trying to get up into your red line area, like before when you're shifting?
Yeah,
or?
Usually from what I've learned, if you can hear it hit the rev limiter right before you let off, that's the perfect
because you guys are redlining at, what, 8,000 RPM? Is it that high?
I do have an
ish, right around there.
Yeah, I have an RPM gauge in my car.
But you go by an idiot light or whatever you want to call the ship
light. I don't really watch anything on my dash. I have a sister indicator and I have RPM gauge. I don't know if it goes by thousands or hundreds, but I know my red line's at 127, either hundreds or thousands. I'm not sure what that one's rated by.
I wonder if they're getting up to like 12 grand, like that 12.
I have no idea.
I don't know. What do you guys red line at?
The bumper.
5,000?
No, RPM. The bumper in front of
you. You guys don't look at RPMs on yours.
No.
Because you guys are regulated in the bomber division, regulated by
rear gear.
Yeah. What is that?
355.
355. Oh, yeah.
342 for Chevy.
You have to run that gear, or is that just a limit?
No, that's the limit. You can run anything. I don't know how they do it.
Less than that.
Deeper, not deeper.
But
up to a 355 rear gear. I usually turn about 5,200 in my car.
My Monte Carlo, I used to run 273, and I shifted.
Highway gear.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
I shifted with the 350 motor. I would shift, go into the turns, drop it into first, smash it all the way around, come out of the turn.
Not another car.
dump it into second, and then do it all over again.
And that was on the asphalt at the Bullring?
No, at the Bullring we stayed in second
with
the 273s. And on the dirt, I was capable of shifting, which made a big difference. Getting out of the hole with those gears, we lost top end, but the whole thing is getting out of the turns. The quicker we could get out of the turns, the better off we were.
That's where that saying comes in. I know my dad used to tell me all the time, slower is faster. If you can get through the corner slower, you can get off the corner faster.
Yeah.
And especially in prompt, that works. With prompt going dry slick, a lot of people that come out will blow the corners because they're trying to go in too hard. But if you actually can go slow through the corners, it's much smoother.
See, on the other hand, I learned at the Bullring, if you drive it in, you're going to push it out. If you roll it in, you're going to be able to drive it out.
Mm-hmm.
The harder you drive it in, you're going to start pushing.
And that's what I like about dirt better. You can drive it in hard, and
yep.
It will stick compared to the asphalt sometimes.
Yep.
And you can probably like control how you get the rear end of your car kicked over and really
drive
it out.
Yeah, in our cars, you have more play with the rear end, it seems like.
Now, that's, of course, a lot shorter wheelbase than what these guys are in. You probably fit like
about half the size.
I was going to say, you probably fit three of those doors.
No, we're stock with the bombers are stock with our rear end. There is no adjustments. You got to run your stock rear end. We're running $25 each corner shocks.
Now, are you guys allowed to weld your rear ends or run positive?
In Pahrump, we are not in Vegas.
Oh.
JJ, you said you were shifting in that Monte Carlo?
Yeah.
Is that where you learned to drive with one hand?
Yes.
I can't drive with one hand.
Yeah. Huh?
That's correct.
That's why you always drive one-handed now.
Correct. Because I had my hand on it. It was a lot of fun shifting. Okay. You could hear it. As soon as you dropped it, coming out of the straightaway, dropping it at the first, okay, the rear end kicked automatically. It wasn't like you had to sling the car to get a 3,400-pound car to kick. You drop it down to first, and the rear end would just lock up and start sliding out. And then once you got to that point, you just stayed in it. And then once you got straight again coming out of the turn, you dumped it back into second. And that's since then, I've always drove with one hand. That's it. That's why I had you put in that oh shit bar that I hold on to. That's why I said I can drive it off, because I'm doing nothing but holding on with the right hand. It was just easier for me and quicker for me to steer with one hand.
It's like when I bought Allison's car back in the day, we first ran it on asphalt out there. I drove that with one hand. You know, just once you get it in gear, just pretty much. That thing drove so smooth. Them guys had it figured out. So when I got it, it was just easy to drive.
It was already figured out.
Because that was one of their first model of that Allison's, Larry Shaw chassis change that they've done. That was the first one that they.
I mean, something I never told Gary. This will probably shock him. He probably might not want to hear it.
Coming out of the turns, AJ.
Not out of shock.
Shock me, pal.
But coming out of the turns to straighten out, I would loosen up my grip with my
wheel.
Left hand, and I'd let the wheel come back by itself until I was straight, and then grab it again. I mean, technically, I had no hands coming out of the turns where the steering wheel. The car is set up that it actually steers itself out of the turns. Okay? And I'm able to let the car come back, just let the steering wheel go. Maybe for a second, 2 seconds, but that steering wheel comes back and I can grab it. I know where I'm straight on the steering wheel and
right.
Take off. I don't have to hand over hand to catch the car.
Now
the car actually, with the pressures that we have set up, it will actually come back itself.
You guys are riding quick steer in the dwarf cars?
I have a quickener in my car because we have no power steering. That makes it a little bit difficult. I have learned that.
Right.
I drive with two hands, and I know, especially after Nationals, the 30-lap main event, sometimes I come off the track and I'm still holding my steering wheel
because
my hands won't let go. I have such a death grip on it.
That's cool. You know, I mean, some of those races seem like they take forever. I know I've been out on a 30-lap race, and I'm thinking, man, can this thing get over because your car's not handling or something?
Yeah, and it's been worse before. Santa Maria, the track was super rough. I didn't have a good weekend out there because I blew up two shocks. My battery actually, I don't know what happened to it. I went out for hot laps, and it, fell apart on the inside something. I came off. It had no power. We even stuck a metal wrench to the positive. It wouldn't spark
nothing.
At all.
Wow.
It just disintegrated inside?
Something,
or
it's a short something came out to where it just failed, so I ended up running the heat race. I didn't do too good because I had a blown shock that I didn't know until we came off track. So out there on that rough track, I had to run a C and a B main to get to the A main. So that was 15 laps, then another 15 laps, then finally the 30 laps.
And you made it to the...
I made it to the A.
That's cool.
And that made it up one day, too, because Santa Maria, we got rained out on Friday, so we did a Saturday-Sunday race.
Oh, so it is all packed into the...
Yeah, it was just... Poof dirt, rough, you couldn't see.
Oh, man.
Poof dirt.
Poof
That's
dirt.
A new one. I never heard it called it. Poof
Well, you
dirt.
Guys should know that lingo. It's dirt racing.
Yeah,
right?
But I've never heard it called
it's a dwarf
poof dirt.
It's a dwarf term, okay?
It's a dwarf family term.
Hey,
okay, it's more like the Bombers. This track is crap.
Yeah.
It's not poof dirt, it's crap.
And that's saying it mildly, I'm sure. So. Hey, you want to talk about any sponsors, of course, family or anybody that helps you?
My dad does everything for me. I'm so thankful for him. He's been so much in the racing, and especially since he's quit, he's put more focus on me. He takes me everywhere I want to go racing, pays my way the whole way.
That's cool.
And I really appreciate it.
Does he need a couple guys to sponsor?
Adopting.
Yeah. See, and that's the funny thing. He does make a joke that once he sells his car, he wants to create a girls team to try to get more girls into dwarf cars.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool to come up with a dwarf all-girl team or something like that. You don't see that too often.
I'll get a wig.
So. You probably already have one.
Well, now that
I'm sorry.
Now yes. Now that you tell me, everything that you do in racing, you got to have your dad to thank. So I guess that gives him every right to take his daughter out.
Anytime he wants, right? He earned that.
I'm fixing it.
I pay for it. I take you out.
That's my car. I bought
you one. And that is kind of just like the first year I started racing, I didn't start racing nationals because I was 14. You had to be 15 to run nationals. We went down the turkey shootout down in Victorville, California, they used to do. And he blew a crutch on Thursday in practice and stole my car for the whole weekend. It was like, oh, you'll race another time.
Backup car.
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
That's what that's called. A backup car.
Yeah, there you go.
He brought you along for a backup car.
Yep.
That's all there is to that.
Hey, of course. You got to have the backup car.
And I do let him run my car. I know 2 years ago, in October, I was working one weekend and I wasn't going to race, so he was going to run it. And then I ended up getting the night off, so I raced out to prom. But he was like, all right, I'll let you in the car. And then right before the heat race, he's like, no, I'm going to get in the car. So I did let him run my car then, which now I know how he's filled. I was so nervous the whole time he was out there.
Oh, that's funny. When somebody else is in your car, yeah.
Watching your own car out there, because he always tells me all the time I scare him because he says I have this wild way that when people wreck out in front of me, I do too many moves to try to get around somebody. He's always like, I think you're going to hit him. I'm like, but I didn't.
You're staring, over-staring back and forth. Yeah,
it's known as youthful no fear.
You know what? That's absolutely true, because that's what's nice about these younger drivers is they have no fear. You know, they wait a little longer to make their decisions.
I have patience, too, so I'll sit there and watch somebody spin and let them spin about four times before I go around.
Which is actually a smart thing to do, because sometimes the cars slingshot in ways that you don't want them to.
Yeah, I do have a picture on my phone I'll show you guys later. Out in Death Valley one time, Justin Kinsey spun out going to four, and I didn't let off because it was the first time I was going to finish, third in a race. So I ended up hitting his front tire, and it was in the newspaper. Actually, they got a perfect picture, and all you see is the bottom side of my car.
Oh,
because I jumped over his car. Luckily, hit the top of the wall, which sent me back down the ground without rolling. I was thankful for a wall.
I was going to say you probably was thinking that wall that time.
And I ended up finishing second in that race because I hit the wall and passed the finish line before Justin Kimsey passed the finish line.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, there's somebody thanking the wall.
There isn't a wall that I hit that I want to thank.
The bittersweet finish there. That's cool. That's pretty cool. Did your dad ever talk about ever wanting to race again? Are you ever hearing him complaining I want to get back
out? He does miss it, but I know he's had a couple bad wrecks before, and his back isn't the same. So he's always like, I go racing, and then I try to work on air conditioners on the roof all day for 40 hours a week. He's like, I can't do that anymore.
And he's having a lot of fun watching you race and helping you get where you want
to
go.
He still enjoys going to the races and stuff, and that's why I don't think he cares about really selling his car, because now he wants to go buy one of those side-by-sides. We'll see where that goes.
He wants to buy a bomber car. That's what he wants.
Well, he's got back issues, but he wants a side-by-side to go off-roading.
A lot of the races we go to out of town, people will go a few days early. Like, I know Santa Maria, they'll go a few days early to go to Pismo Beach. When we go to Vernal, our friend Monty up there has a cabin. They go all through the woods in Vernal, go off-roading. So that's what he wants to do.
No, we don't want to push for Cecilia's dad to get into the bombers.
If he takes out his daughter, what do you think he's going to do to us?
Yeah. Strangers.
He wants to go from a dwarf to a coupe.
Exactly. Yeah, go to a coupe.
Of course. We're too slow.
And you have mirrors.
You
don't want that. Hey, I want to, again, thank everybody for joining us here on the last show of the year. And want to say Happy New Year to everybody. And, thank everybody for joining us all year long. Of course, Gary and JJ here just really pushed to keep this show going every week. And, just want to thank you guys for doing everything you do. I know I slack a lot. And want to thank all our guests, especially last but not least, Silly Dilly of 2014, for being here. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And we look forward to having you back again sometime in the future and watching you race coming up. So
yeah, you're gonna have to bring your dad in follow up.
Yeah, there you
bring
go
dad in.
Real quick, drop your next race is gonna be
March 18th, kick off our point here.
14th, up the dwarfs, and you want to find out more racing locals, www.dubombination.com. See you live here next Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Have a healthy, happy new year, everybody.
Thanks
for listening. Happy new year. Thanks for listening.